had the need of my heart, shall the spelling of joy and tally, he hid all the dark color. Anything on my part to help them, but Lord God, You're all sufficient.
Amen.
And you're all powerful. And you're all knowing. Lord, you can do it.
Amen.
You're the one who specializes in things thought impossible. Your word says all things are possible, only believe.
Amen.
Your word even says if you shall ask anything in my name, ye will have it. Lord, we just ask you this evening, Lord, whatever the need may be, that you will meet that need. For you are the meter of needs. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are the Lord who provides.
Amen.
Pray, Lord, this evening that you'll comfort each one that's needing a comforting touch. Maybe uplift someone that's feeling cast down. And we ask you, especially this evening, for this woman, Elaine, Lord, who's needing prayer because she's suffering from stress and depression. Lord, we know whose work that is. And we rebuke Satan now and his works over her life in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will minister to her. And Lord, we know that when the Holy Ghost testifies, it testifies of you, Lord Jesus. Lord, all that woman needs is you in her life. Lord, if she has you in her life, she'll be a changed woman.
Amen.
And Lord, I don't know what her circumstances is, Lord, whether she's ever made a confession or not before, but Lord, I pray indeed you'll touch her and deliver her. For Lord, it's in your power alone to do it. Lord, we couldn't do anything, Lord. We can't, your word says,
Amen.
Which of us cannot? Stature, one cubit till a stature by taking thought. No, Lord, we can't do it. But Lord, you said when there was no light, let there be light. Lord, you called everything into being that is. Lord, thou art the mighty God. And Jeremiah said, O Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power.
Amen.
And nothing is too difficult for thee. Lord, touch this woman now, Lord, thy daughter. Make her every whit whole and turn her to thee. Grant her repentance if she's not saved, Lord, and save her soul. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, for each one that raised their hand this evening. Indeed, Lord, you'll be their portion, be everything they need, Lord Jesus. Help them to realize, Lord, that to the victor belongs the spoils, and you triumph over the devil and all his ways and all his cohorts when you rose from the dead.
Yes.
And you give gifts unto men. Help us, Lord, to use those gifts in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, these things are at our disposal this evening. Lord, we come to you, and Lord, let us take up our position this evening in Christ Jesus, that we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. I ask you, Lord, this evening that you bless the pastor as he comes and brings forth thy word tonight. Pray, Lord, that it will be like the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, I pray. Pray, Lord, every stronghold will be cast down and broken down in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just ask you now that, Lord, you'll have your way in our midst. Bless the singing and bless the praise. And Lord Jesus, we just remember once again the Foster family this time.
Yes, Lord.
Lord God, Lord, we don't know what to say and we don't know what to do. Lord, only you can, Lord, you can give comfort in these times. And we pray, Lord God,
Lord,
that you will indeed comfort the family and loved ones.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior,
Jesus,
our precious God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we sing that hymn? Thank God I am free.
Amen.
From this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. After we sing it, Brother Callum, come on, sing a song for us.
Amen.
All right. I've been thinking of something. Two verses and two choruses to think upon it.
Our Lord, have mercy.
called in times of peace.
In times of peace, you need a savior.
In times of peace, you need a savior. In times of peace, you need a savior.
In times like these, you need a savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. I'm very sure, my anchor holds and grips the
Oh, praise the Lord. praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one tonight that's here in the service, and God bless those that's watching in, and I want to thank the brothers that's taking care of the, trying to improve the sound in the background as well. The brother Idris is working on it from home as well, that for those watching in this evening, and I don't know all the new rules they've let out. There's different new rules for these COVID-19 and everything, but the Lord bless each one, and we want to try to abide by all we're meant to, and we want to go forward at the same time with the Word of God. So let's turn to Matthew 24, verse 42-44, and what I plan to preach this evening has changed completely. It's done a U-turn. And that's the thing about it, when you announce a message a day or two before it, then when you get to the time, it could change. But I want to talk about the coming of the Lord tonight. And I'm not going to be speaking specifically on the rapture, but I will mention it, and the word rapture means caught up.
Amen.
And the brethren was actually the first people that really preached about the rapture before any other groups. On history, you can check that. And they preached, the old brethren all preached about the rapture, and the Baptist all preached about the rapture, and the Enum all preached about the rapture, and many of the mainstream churches or groups all used to preach about the rapture. Now, we don't hear much preaching about it today. We don't hear much preaching about the second coming of the Lord, but surely the events that's happening in the world are signposts of the near coming of Jesus Christ. And if ever was a time we need to preach about the coming of the Lord, we're at that time. Praise God. Let us read from verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Chapter 25, verse 13 also of Matthew. One verse. Matthew 25, verse 13. Again, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Let us bow our heads this evening. Praise God. Our Father in heaven, we humbly bow before you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, thy Son. We thank thee for this wonderful opportunity, even as we have heard that you paid the ultimate price for we, which were not a people,
Amen. We're
now the people of God because of Calvary. We thank you for the atonement, for the finished work. We thank you that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you, Lord, this evening for Calvary. We want to thank you for the precious blood of the Lamb of God shed for the remission of our sins. Father, we plead the merits of that blood tonight, and we thank you for the life of the blood, the token, the Holy Spirit. And we do take the Holy Spirit by faith to help us in Jesus' name. And we thank you that you do undertake. Bless all that's in this room and all that's listening in. Touch those that need a touch from heaven tonight. Think of your own wee son, and pray for James, that you'll touch him.
Yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, for my dad, touch him.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus,
glory.
Pray for others, Lord, this evening, you'll touch them, and you'll heal them and raise them up. In Jesus' precious name, help us to preach your word and to give witness to the resurrection and the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Save souls, restore the backslidden, and get thyself all the praise and all the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I think I preached this message sooner before the lockdown. Jesus may come today. And I tell you, that is a striking thing. People talk about, we need to see this, and we have to see this, and we have to see this. We have to see nothing more. If the Lord does not save another soul, if no more things happen in the earth, God will be justified in sending Jesus. And no man knows the day nor the hour when he's coming, only the Father. The coming of Jesus Christ is absolutely a secret. When a preacher gets up and says he knows the date of the coming of the Lord, he has there, that moment, made himself a false prophet.
Amen.
No man knows the day nor the hour. We could say we know the season. We could say we know the times. Because the Bible tells us, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be. We can see all around us, it's definitely like today, like it was in the days of Lot, where those that practice homosexuality, they are proud of it, and they'll put it in your face that they're proud of it. And we see that they're glorifying man's number more than ever during this lockdown. I've noticed that. Number six is a number. Six people, six everything else. Have they never read the book of Revelations? Because that's the number of a man. And his number is 666. And then if you take over in the Bible, it talks about man's day, or the day of the glorification of man, and man's number is number six. And we're living in the day of the glorification of man, where they're boasters, they're heady, they're high-minded, according to the book of Timothy, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. A lot of people want to claim I'm a Christian, but they deny the power of God thereof to change the life. And I told you on Wednesday night, they're bringing out a law that it will be against the law to convert people. So those that are in a condition that mean you know is wrong, you're not allowed to put them through any type of a conversion, or you'll be took to court or jailed for it. But I thank God that the Word of God, the disciple says, whether it please men or not, we will continue to preach repentance through the name of Jesus Christ, even after they laid many stripes upon them. And that's the days we're living in, brethren. I want to say we see it where the brothers can go on the street. But I tell you something, that's coming to an end. Hear me this evening. It's going to stop. They're going to stop the preaching on the street. They're going to stop a lot of things because it has to, because it's a sign of the end time. And we're living in the last days. And I tell you, Jesus could come today. Mark tells us in chapter 13, verse 33-37, take heed, watch and pray. For you know not when the time is, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and every man at work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you all, watch. William Mullen was a great Baptist minister, and I think what a brother mentioned this morning, were on a midweek service, he would have at least 500 people attending the midweek service and a Bible study. You wouldn't get much of that today, sure you wouldn't. But he had 500 attending on the midweek service. And he said the master was away on a trip, and the master came back and found them rollicking about, and they threw a wee girl up on the back of the pony, and when the man that owned the estate came back, they were caught on messing about. They weren't working, they're messing about. Now, we know a fella one time, he sat in the boss's office with the feet up.
Amen.
But you can be caught messing about.
Hallelujah.
But you see, they were caught on.
Amen.
And he said that when Jesus comes, a lot of people's not going to be caught up. They're going to be caught on. And the Lord is warning us to watch ye therefore.
Amen.
For the master's coming when no man knoweth the day or the hour. And I tell you, people have all these great, wonderful revelations, and they can tell you to the very moment Jesus is coming, but yet the Bible says no man knows the very day or the hour wherein the Lord will come, but we need to be ready. Ready for the certain coming of Jesus Christ. The world needs to be prepared. You need to be prepared, and the world won't be prepared. He's coming like a thief in the night. And the Bible warns us of the good man of the house had shut up and watched. He wouldn't have been robbed, for he'd have caught the thief. But the thief cometh in the night time, when he was sleeping, when he was least expecting it. And this world is going on. And let me tell you my honest opinion, this COVID-19 is a cover-up for a lot of other things that's happening. I don't believe the half of it. I'm not saying it's not there, but I've read myself, and they say there's more people dying with the flu than there has of COVID-19, and nobody ever closed nowhere down for the flu. And here in Northern Ireland especially, know this, that people are dying every single day with cancer. And cancer patients can't get treated, because you can't even go to your own doctor these days. I rang up the doctor myself last week, for my wee son wasn't too well, and what they'd give him was making no difference to him, and I might as well have rang the hedge. If I'd have went to the vet, at least he'd have diagnosed the animal, whatever was wrong with it. But their doctor, did you do this? Did you certainly have done it? And there was no answer, no nothing, no contact. They're all living in fear. But I tell you, Jesus is coming.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is coming again. Lord. And we ought not to be taken up with the fear of COVID-19, but we ought to be afraid for the coming of the Lord. And we need to be a people in prayer that we are ready for the coming of the Lord, and our children's ready, and our family's ready, and those that's near and dear to us are ready for the coming of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what we need to be fearing about. The Bible says the fear of God bringeth forth repentance. I tell you, the whole thing, there's someone behind it. And you know the Bible predicts a man of sin that's going to rise. And it's striking that there's 3 sixes in his number, isn't it? But God's number is number 7. 7's completion. 7's perfection. 7's the finish. 7's the 7th saying of Christ on the cross. All 7s. Thank God for the 7s. Praise his name. Luke 12:40, it says, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Jesus is coming again. All these scriptures are telling us when you think not. None of these scriptures are saying, you know, you're going to know exactly the moment. None of them is saying that. They're telling you it's a secret. They're telling you when people least expect it, it's going to happen. And Jesus is going to come again. Revelation 22, verse 7 and verse 20. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book, verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ is coming again.
Amen.
He's coming again. You fighting again for you. Jesus has promised he's coming again. Just like the Father promised that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, he would pour out the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he done it. And Jesus has promised that he will come again for his people.
Amen.
And I tell you, he's not a man that he should lie.
Right.
His word is yea and it's amen. Hallelujah. He's coming again.
Right.
Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
He may come today.
Glory.
I want you to be struck with this tonight, that the Lord could come before morning.
That's right.
We're not guaranteed another day. We're not even guaranteed that we'll see 12 o'clock tonight. But the Lord is coming again. Yes, the Lord Jesus may come today. The coming of Christ to the earth is imminent. Do you know what that word means? Imminent. It's right at hand. It's imminent. It could happen today. It may occur at any moment, day or night. There is not a single event prophesied in the Bible which was come to pass before the Savior returns. As far as we can tell or know, every event, political, ecumenical, or spiritual, needed to occur before Jesus comes, not another war needs to take place. There's been enough of them. The Lord could come.
Amen.
The ecumenical movement set in place. The church world order has already agreed that they're ready to accept the Pope of Rome as their overseer on their head. It's on their own writings. Everything is in place for the coming of the Lord. And people have been deceived in the thousands, but in the midst of it all, there's a genuine people of God that believe in salvation alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone.
Amen.
And they're looking for the coming of the Lord, and Jesus could come today. Not another war needs to be declared. Not another gospel sermon needs to be preached. The Lord could come any time to catch up his saints into the earth for the morning supper of the Lamb in heaven. Jesus Christ simply told us, look for his coming. That's what he warned us. He told us to look for his coming. He told us, be also ready. He warned us against sleeping. It's hard not to sleep when you're tired. How many agrees with me? Even in church, people sometimes sleep. Now, I know it's coming down to ventilation and all them things. I know that. But if you're tired, if you sit by a fireside, you can fall asleep easily. How many? Tell the truth about it. I've done it. You've done it. And so it is with the coming of the Lord. Many professing Christians are falling asleep on the side, waiting on the Lord to come. The best way to keep from sleeping is to keep active, not idle, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Keep active.
Amen.
Praise God. The night cometh when no man can work. We must work while it is day. We must continue the work of the Lord while it is day. The Lord does not want to find us sleeping. There's another condition he warns about. Shall you be found naked when he comes? There is a clothing, and the clothing is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the clothing. Romans 4, the imputation of righteousness. Jesus warned, watch and pray, since we know not what are the Lord of Christ. Christ's return is imminent, clearly stated by Christ himself. He says, I'm coming. And you don't know when I'm coming. Praise God. The Bible is full of teaching about the second coming of Christ, related events. Those of us who take the Bible literally, do you take the Bible literally? Do you believe it is a holy, inspired word of God? Do you believe it's more than just a book? It's not a newspaper. It's not a storybook that some old doll read whilst you're drinking red wine. The tick of somebody's ears at an evening time. No, it's not that type of a book. This is the holy, infallible, living word of God.
Amen.
In the books. I believe that. We should be reading the Word of God.
Amen.
No, it's nothing wrong with reading Christian literature, Christian books, good ones. But there's nothing like reading the Word of God.
That's right. Amen.
Those of us who take the Bible literally and believe it, and are there for premillennialists, are you premillennialists tonight? Or do you believe that some of these dry hides? And I make no apologies for preaching like this. Well, brother, we believe we will have to go through the tribulation to be purged. Well, then you're telling me that the blood of Jesus never done enough for you. That he has left some sins on you. You're denying Romans 8 verse 1. What's Romans 8 verse 1? There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
We walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
I tell you, Jesus was judged for you already. We heard this morning. He done the dirty work for us.
Amen.
He took the wrath of the Holy God for us.
Right.
So that we could be free. And the Lord is coming for a group of people. And they're going to leave this scene of time.
Amen.
And they're going to be no more. They're going to be raptured, caught up to be with the Lord.
Amen.
And there'll be a tribulation setting to this world. They think COVID-19 something. I can assure you it's nothing compared to what's coming. And I'm not saying that to scare nobody, but the Bible speaks of a time coming like the world has never seen before. A time called the day of God's wrath. And God's judgment's coming in this earth. For the Christ rejectors. That's what it's coming for. Not the believer. For the Christ rejectors.
Amen.
Those of us who take it, we believe it. Listen. We are expecting the little bodily physical return of Christ. Now I know people, some people say he was a comatose in his grave and they don't believe in a literal physical body in heaven. And they've all, I heard a man once. And I remember going to a minister's meeting, and he began to tell all the pastors and the ministers that there was no literal physical body of Jesus in heaven, and he started his whole great spiel. And I told him straight up, "Si, I don't believe one word of your rubbish." And that's all it is, absolute rubbish. And he says to me, "What do you mean?" I said, "If you do not believe in a physical, literal, resurrected Jesus, you're not even saved." That's how far I'm going. And he says, "You need to sit under my teaching for 3 months." I said, "I wouldn't sit under it for 3 minutes. You're a false prophet. My Bible tells me that God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. My Bible tells me that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. And he ever knew it. To make intercession for the saints.
Amen.
It's not just a spirit floating about.
Hallelujah.
But there's a physical Jesus.
Hey.
A real Jesus.
Hey.
The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's coming back again.
Amen.
Oh, but brother, he's out in the desert. Believe it not.
Amen.
He's in the secret place. Believe it not.
Amen.
There's lots of people claiming where Jesus is. But the Word of God says, believe it not. We know we're going to meet him in the air.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This same Jesus. This same Jesus. Acts chapter 1. That's your blueprint for the church. The book of Acts. When you go back to Acts chapter 1, what do you read? "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? For this same Jesus did you see him go up into heaven, shall so come in like manner as he went." How did he go up in the clouds and the angels? How many know that in the book of Acts?
Right. Yeah.
Let's turn it for a moment and we'll sharpen the memory up. But it's there. Acts chapter 1 verse 9. "And when he had spoken these things while they beheld," Acts chapter 1 verse 9, "he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight." A cloud. "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." Who were they? Who dressed them? These were two angels. righteous, the two angels of Sodom, the two angels in the book of Acts. You study yourself when you go home where all these twos are, and you'll find someone, I can tell you that. And you go in your Bible and you look at the law of the first mention, and you can follow it all through Scripture, and if you can't, leave it alone. God's word dovetails. Two angels. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in that manner as ye have seen him, as ye have seen him go into heaven. How was he taken up? In a cloud. How's he coming? In a cloud. How do you know? Because he's coming the way he went. Did your Bible say it? Mine does. How many creeps even up the cloud? Wasn't it saying he's coming in the same way? I tell you, he's coming again. Praise God. Physical return of Christ. We have the great themes of the resurrection, the rapture, the meeting in the earth. Go to 1 Thessalonians 4:14. Here's your rapture chapter. Now I'm saying the rapture. It means catching up, catching away. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. Now I know a lot of people, they preach it and they say we're going up and coming straight down again. They can do that if they want, but I'm not coming back. I'm going home for the marriage. Amen? When you get married to your wife, you take her on a honeymoon, is that right? If you don't, you're miserable. How many's understanding what I'm saying? When you and her come together, you don't want everybody else hanging about with you. You're gone. It's a time of getting to know each other, to becoming close with each other. And this rapture's taking place. We're going to go to the honeymoon. We're going to go to be with the Lord. We're not going up to come straight down again. No, we will come down again. But that's a whole different subject, a whole different scripture. And that coming down again is King, Queen and King on the Mount of Olives.
Amen.
Where the bride comes back with Christ.
Amen.
On the Mount of Olives, and it splits in two like a great river. And we're going to head up to Jerusalem.
All right.
And we're going to live and reign in this earth with Christ for 1,000 years.
Amen.
And the devil's bound for them 1,000 years.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But a lot of people mix it all up. Just like the Mormons or the Jehovah Witnesses. They take the scriptures and revelations, which was relating to the Jews, where God will see 144,000, and they say it's us. I told one of them one day, I said, boy, you're in trouble. He says, why? I says, you're in powerful trouble. He says, what do you mean? I says, well, there was 144,000 in your books years ago, so you're lost. He'd no answer for that. In big trouble, wasn't it? You see, they took the scripture for them. It's nothing to do with it. It's for the Jews. And Moses and Elijah will come to them and preach the same Pentecostal message which we hear. And they'll be sealed with the same Spirit of God.
Yeah.
That's during that time. You know, there's so much in it. And you know that they'll kill them. They'll kill Moses and Elijah. And the two witnesses, revelations. And the bodies will lay in the streets. 3.5 days, the Spirit of God will come in them and raise them up. How many knows that's the Word of God?
Amen.
But the church of the bride of Christ, a different story. We're going on the rapture.
Amen.
Catching up. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain on the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder them which are asleep. They're dead physically, but they're not dead, they're just sleeping, they're in the grave, the bodies. Absent with the body, present with the Lord. That's why he said the Lord bring with him. How many's getting it? The dead's going to be raised. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The graves shall be opened. Verse 17. Jesus is coming again to take us.
Amen.
He's coming to take us. You could go over to Corinthians as well, and in Corinthians you'd read, this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. We're going to get a body change. You can see the whole picture of it. You can preach the second coming from Abraham. You can preach from Joseph. And the brother Mason and Ruth this morning, all them scriptures, you can take types of the second coming from them Old Testament books and preach the catching up. Did you know that? The coming of the Lord, it's in there. The time wouldn't permit us tonight, and I'm not going to go into it all tonight. I'm just going to hit the highlights this evening. My main point is, he's coming. And you need him already. Amen?
Amen.
The judgment seat of Christ, the great tribulation, the man of sin, the Antichrist, the glorious return of Christ with his saints and the angels, the battle of Armageddon, the restoration of the Jews of Palestine, the judgment of the living nations, the millennial reign of Christ on David's throne. All these are things we can preach. They're all true. But we are dealing specifically tonight. Jesus is coming again. And we need to be ready. Amen? We need to be watching. A lot of people give a list of doctrines how to be ready, but the Lord gives one simple one. Be watching. How simple is that? And you know, when Jesus took the parable of the virgins, the key thing was to have oil. That was the key thing. And you know, William Branham, when he preached a message called The Token, he said, this is thus saith the Lord to this generation, that you have to have the Holy Spirit to go.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit. And people today don't want to preach about the Holy Spirit. They don't want to preach about the coming of the Lord. But we need the oil in the vessel, the Holy Spirit in our vessels. And if you are watching and waiting and tuned in to heaven, not some church or organization, you should be tuned into the Lord.
Amen.
It is the Lord.
Amen.
That we need to be tuned into, praying, asking God to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Amen. That God would fill us on tomorrow morning, ask them to fill you again. And on Tuesday morning, when you get up, ask them to fill you again. Every single day of the week, we need the Spirit of God. We need it in our lives, in our homes, in our meetings. We can do nothing without it. The best we can do won't amount to much without the Spirit of God. Like one old man said, give me a man and the Holy Ghost, and he'd do more in 5 minutes than we could do in a lifetime without it.
Right.
And Joseph Smith, the Pentecostal Joseph Smith, not the false Joseph Smith, but the old Joseph Smith of the Elam movement, said Moses was 40 years learning to be an Egyptian. And he learned all that he could learn about them. Then he's the next 40 years on the backside of the desert, learning to be a shepherd. And then he said it was the next 40 years learning that God was everybody. Amen. Now that sounds simple, but it's profound. That same Joseph Smith, that an old fella had missed church for a while, and he hadn't noticed him in service for a long time, and he went out to see him. And he sat by the fire, and the fire was going in the coal. You know the old fires. Most houses are all at coal fires. I go back a long time ago. I was only a young fella, but he was an old man when I saw him in one of the meetings when I was with Brother John. That's a long time ago. I was only a lad. And he was an old man then. You know who he said was one of his greatest conversions? Do you know who Joseph Smith, one of his greatest conversions were during his time preaching? Jack Watt. Do you know who Jack Watt is? He's related to a lot of people in this service. He's our grandmother's brother. Was that a brother? Grandmother's brother, Jack Watt. And he said that was one of the greatest conversions he saw preaching, Jack Watt's conversion. But Joseph Smith went to this home, and the old boy hadn't been to church for a long time, and he never preached one word to him. He talked away. And he took the tongs and he lifted a red hot But very strangely, we often neglect the greatest theme and the connection with the Saviour's coming, and that his coming is imminent. That's the greatest theme. When you study these scriptures, I've read you and I've missed a lot of them. The coming of the Lord is imminent. It's at hand. If I told you your house could burn down at any time, I'll guarantee you'll be watching for it. And the Lord's coming is imminent. Whatever Jesus taught about his second coming, the point of his message was always this, that his coming is to be sudden, unexpected, surprising, so that every Christian should be ready for the coming at any moment. We need to be ready. We're not ready if we're not prayed up. We need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Ready for a certain return. Matthew 24, verse 36, you say, brother, you're preaching works tonight. No, but your works prove your faith. I'm talking to believers.
Amen.
Not the unsaved here in this room. You are saved. You should have works.
Amen.
Good works, as the Bible tells us that. We're not saved for works, but we should have works because we're saved. How many believe that tonight?
Amen.
Matthew 24, verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. Oh, when I talked, there's a prophet over in Africa, and he told everybody, sell your houses up, was he some fella. Sell your houses, where will we take the money? Mr. Prophetic Monk, bring it to me, I need it all. That's what he told them. Now how foolish were they that they sold their properties, they sold their home, bought themselves 30 tens of beans in a tent. And he said, there's a hypocrite. Now I tell you, he might think that's a big joke, but that man will stand judgment. Do you realize false preachers will be in a deeper hell than the unsaved? They weren't preachers. False preachers are not saved, you know. There's people in hell with collars on that are not saved, and cooks hold them too. I tell you, someone, you think I'm joking, there's a man and he saw into hell. And he saw people in there that were meant to be ministers, and they were burning. A religious cloak saves nobody, it's only the blood of Jesus.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
If they haven't got Jesus, if nothing, they're naked.
That's right. Amen.
Only the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Told them to sell up all. You know, that man went even further. I challenged him. On one occasion, before he started all this, I challenged him, and I tell you, you know, he thought he'd put a curse on me. He literally thought he put a curse on me. And the other brother who was with him told him, brother, do you realize you're trying to put a curse on the brother McKinstry? And he pulled him on it, and he thought he put a curse on me, and he thought it was greed. And I felt very ill. But the Lord healed me that night.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God showed me in the nighttime, him and another boy, the performances they were doing. I was a lot like that boy Gary preached about this morning. They were two very, well, I won't get into it, but you can guess it. Put two and two together. It makes four. Amen. But God showed me. I shocked. I was really shocked. But after that, I knew now. I knew now. And I knew that it would go from one extreme to another, what they would preach and what they would do, and it did. And it just got worse and worse. And this man went so far as he told the whole congregation, and they all amen them, by the way. Watch what you're amening. Are you hearing me this evening? I know, I love to hear amens, and I hope I'm saying the right thing, and you're amening me. I'll be amening you as well. But this boy got on the pulpit, and you know what he said? Have you prayed in the name of Jesus Christ and got no answer? And they're all, oh, yes, yes. Well, right away you say, that was unbelief.
Yes.
And then he said, try praying in my name. And he gave out his name. And they amened it. Now hold on. These are people that preach. We cannot be deceived. We are the elect. We can never be deceived. We're the bride. We're the elect. We can't be deceived. The Bible says that him that standeth, take heed, lest he fall.
Yeah,
humble yourself before Almighty God. Not don't care what we are. We do believe we're the bride. We do believe we're saved, but we need the Lord every moment.
Amen.
But fall without.
Amen.
But wouldn't be fit to go another moment without the Lord. Never think you could do it. You know, with your own cockiness, as they say.
Yes.
You need God's help every moment.
Amen.
As I see my preacher and he get up on this pulpit, you need the help of the Lord. And you hear me praying and you might think it's repetitive if I take the Holy Spirit, because I need it. I can't do it without it. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Lord's help. And even when it sounds repetitive, I make no apologies for it. I'm sincere in what I'm saying. It's the same in the morning. If you're going out with a children to school, you might pray a prayer and it might sound the same. But if you're sincere, God will still hear it. God will still hear it. We need the Lord every moment. Hallelujah. Verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. And that means marrying, giving in marriage means marrying several times. Marriage meant nothing. They could marry as many times as they wanted. It meant absolutely nothing. Until the day Noah entered in the ark, and knew it not until the flood came. Knew it not until the flood came. In other words, it came before they knew it. And the Lord will come and people won't realize. You know what God's servant said? He said, when the rapture takes place, people will know about it. He said, everything the next day will be continuing as normal. They'll not even know a lot of the people that's gone. They will be gone. Now I know, in these modern churches you have some scientific headed person up there, and I'm not apologizing for that, on the plane drop out of the sky and the train run off tracks, all that's rubbish. There's no scripture for none of that. This thing here is a secret. God is coming for his people and you'll be taken. Now you're not going to be going yourself. Enoch didn't say, I'll tell you what, I'll walk with God for 365 days, years, and on the 365 years, I decide I'll go. He couldn't do that. God took him. He never decided himself I'll go on a certain day. And when people preach, I've heard people preach, when we climb the ladder of perfection, and this is my words, when we climb the ladder of perfection, and I could name a group in here, but I'm holding back not till, but I could. And when we get to a certain room, we're ready, we'll go. Absolute nonsense. Jesus has a time set for the Father.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
And if you're washed in the blood of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost, you're ready right
Amen.
Now.
Amen. Right.
Tick you. He will tick you, I said. You're not flying out of here. We sing the song, I fly away. You won't. He'll tick you away. How many believes that? Amen. We won't be growing a set of wings. Now we're spiritually eagles, we know that. We can type it, we're spiritually eagles of the great eagle, Jesus Christ. The song sings about it. What a beautiful thought I'm thinking concerning the great speckled bird. For I know his name is recorded in the pages of God's holy word. He's talking about the Lord. And how many knows he's talking about Israel? Now, Bert, come on a minute. You've got somebody who's thinking about that. All right then, here's one. What about the rabbi? When the Jews wouldn't leave, and the plane pulled up, and he took a scripture where they boarded on a bird, and it saved them, and they got on the plane. How many knows about that? It's in the Bible. And God saved them on the wings of a plane, because a rabbi read a scripture out, and they got on. Amen? Now you know it's tied to God's people as eagles. Amen? But we're not growing wings, we won't need them. You will travel as a thought. Now, all right, let me take a moment with this, because some of you didn't want there. Now, here's a question I have for those that's listening in tonight, and they maybe don't believe in the supernatural, and some people don't believe in any supernatural. Who was it joined himself to the Ethiopian eunuch, the chariot? Philip. How did he know to do it? The Spirit of God told him.
Amen.
He heard the man reading from Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 53, 70 years of age. Now read it all out and it said it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. The milk veins have dried up. Did your Bible say it? Mine does. But the same Bible says that the king of Abimelech looked on beautiful Sarah. And wanted her for his wife. And God came to him in a dream that night and said, you watch yourself, boy. That's Abraham's wife. Half-sister, but still his wife. He said, that's my sister. He told a wee lie. And you hear people, and they make such a big ado. Like a brother Gary mentioned this morning. God does strange things.
Yes.
But God done it.
Amen. Right.
And Abraham said, she's my sister. And it was a lie, and it wasn't. You say, well, how was it with her? It was a half-sister. But yet, she wasn't his full sister. But God visited that king and he said, don't you even touch her. Get the chop, you know what I mean? Amen?
Yeah.
But the point is, God changed Sarah. God changed Sarah. Sarah never went to the doctor for an injection. Sarah never went to the doctor for a pill. Sarah never said, now Abraham, the time must be near up for this to come to pass. She made no physical effort of her own to do it, but Abraham believed. Hear me tonight, he believed.
Amen.
And the believing was enough.
Amen.
Romans 4 tells us it was. For it was given them as the imputation of righteousness. Now we're not living in that dispensation, let me drop this in. A lot of people take that and they say, that's it now, we don't need the Holy Spirit, we just believe. But then I have another scripture for you. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?
Amen.
And they said, we've not heard about it. And then they got the sermon preached to them all about it. So they did hear. And then they received the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yeah. Jesus is coming again.
Right.
We're leaving. People are making such a deal of it here, but we're leaving here. It's not really important what we have here. In a certain sense, I know we have to live and do our best. I believe that. Keep on farming and sowing your seed and building and so forth. How many believes that? But the Lord's coming.
That's right.
The Lord is coming.
Hallelujah.
Now you can't tell me that a people's no vision's ready for the coming of the Lord or not. If you are looking for the coming of the Lord, you will have a desire. First of all, for your own home. For your neighbor. Is that right?
Yeah.
We want to see them saved.
Amen.
By the grace of God.
Yeah.
Amen. Verse 40. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding, the one at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. The unsaved are not going to go in the rapture. Now they might get saved when the saved goes. That'll be down to them and God. My, we need to be praying. Now I know, I believe God can give you a revelation. I believe that. You could pray for someone and God could show you they're going to come. How many believe that? God could do it. But Paul says, how do you know or not? Paul says, how are you going to know? I tell you, it's a serious thing, isn't it? The Lord is coming again. I believe that should stir us to pray for our own children at least. For own friends and family members, that God would save them.
Amen.
My friend tuned in tonight, you need to be saved. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
The coming of the Lord is imminent. Now, I don't want to read all these scriptures. Matthew 25, verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You don't know the day nor the hour. People have it all worked out, but the Bible says they haven't. His imminent second coming is illustrated by Jesus. It's illustrated. Jesus illustrates it. Matthew 24, verse 37. You can read it. Let me say this. How precious this doctrine is to the Savior, and how important his disciples. We can see by the way he repeated it and illustrated it. Notice the illustration the Savior gave. The second coming will be like the flood in the days of Noah, Jesus said. It'll be like that. You say, well, what would be the resemblance? It's homosexuality. Marrying, giving in marriage, people were be partying away. Having a big time. verse 37, but out of the days of Noe were, Matthew 24, verse 37, so shall also the coming of Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noe entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of Son of Man be. They never knew the water was coming till it was too late. They were warned. They were told, but they done nothing about it. You think of Belfast. I'm just picking Belfast out because we see so much of these brothers preaching on the streets, and it's wonderful. But they're on the judgment because of that. Do you realise that side of it? It's the more judgment. Do you know that? That's the truth. When God warns a people so much, there's more judgment to them to do something. What about when William Branham went to California and he preached in Los Angeles and he cried out, oh, Los Angeles, Los Angeles! And he prophesied in the midst of them, and Los Angeles almost sank back then. And you know what she's on a fault? Underneath her honeycomb. And she could fall into the ocean at any moment. And how did she get the name Los Angeles? Because she called herself after the angels. And God's judgments. And you say, well, where were the Lord? Oh, Capernaum, Capernaum, Jesus said. I heard a fellow saying, two cities were burned in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. No, he didn't read it right. Five. Sodom and Gomorrah, Tyre and Sidon, and there was another one, a fifth one. Five cities were burnt, not two, five. And I tell you, the Lord's coming.
Amen.
Now, people say, oh, what if God's a loving God? I need to tell you, learn to love yourself. What for? Loving yourself won't save you. You can paint your face, you can polish it, that's all good. And spray it and perfume it. Nothing wrong with that. You know what? John Wesley said, cleanliness is next to godliness. I believe that. I'm a big fan of John Wesley. Wash your face, sure. I believe that. But it won't save.
That's right.
Only repentance in the blood of Jesus saves.
Amen.
And people are saying, you're born with that condition. The condition that you and me is born with is sin. It's an inherited condition to every man and every woman. We're born in sin, sheep with iniquity. That's why we need Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's not a special condition for one and a less special one for the other. We're all the same, all have sinned.
Right.
And give short of the glory of God.
Amen.
But Jesus can save whosoever will come.
Amen.
God sent not a son, John 3:17, into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
Now I'm going to have to come to a close, but let me read you this for a moment about the Titanic. I was thinking about it again today. I know I mentioned it before. The fact of the coming flood had been clearly foretold in Noah's day. For 120 years, Noah had been building an ark and preparing the flood. You may be sure that everybody in the inhabited portion of the earth knew of the warning. They all knew about it. You could no more keep the ark a secret. Just think of it here in Belfast, Northern Ireland, when they're building the Titanic. Do you think nobody knew about it? Certainly they knew about it. It was a talk of this country. Mind they boasted about it. They said not even God could sink the Titanic. That's what they say. Now when you make a statement of God, it's over. Once somebody challenges God to tell him what he can or can't do, that's you've crossed the line there. Because God can do anything. And I tell you, I don't have all the statistics tonight, but those of you that's been to the Titanic, I was amazed how big it was. Were you amazed? It was tons of weight. Tons of weight. The anchor alone, the propeller had driven tons of weight. Over 2,000 horsepower engine. The power it had. The ability it had. The perfection of man's hands, if you like to put it like that. But yet nothing in the eyes of God. The Titanic keel was laid on the 31st of March, 1909. She was launched on the 31st of May, 1911. and a sea trial took place on the 1st of April 1912, a total of 2 years, 10 months, 2 days. 3,000 men worked on the Titanic. 3,000 men. Think of this. 3,000 men working on her. There was 14,000 employed at Harland and Wolff shipyard at the time, Sardis, Reflection, and that. And then, I'll tell you something, they blamed all types of things for putting people on the brown, but the government in England and Ireland has laid more people off through COVID-19 than all the other stuff put together. That's the truth. Make sure to wear your mask now. That's been threw over a floor in Japan or one of them countries. They make it and throw it all over the floor. And then you're putting it on your face. Be careful. Make sure you get it on. But it looked, brethren, it's ridiculous. The people, there's a man was arrested the other day over a mask. Arrested. But if you belong to a certain organization, you can carry a revolver and shoot people.
Right.
And join the government.
Right.
And get paid $120,000 a year. Watch if you're wearing a mask. Fella said to me one day, he says, Tom, you need to get a mask on. I says, here, boy, what I tell you, the last time I wore a mask at a gun woman. That's the truth. But you see the thing about it, how can you identify somebody behind a mask? It's ridiculous, the rules and regulations. Jesus is coming, and people's not worried about that. The Lord's coming. Nobody's worried about the Lord's coming. Look at this, 14,000 employed in Harland and Wolff. The Titanic passengers were 1,500 people who died. 2,224 were said to be on the boat. Just over 700 survived on the 15th of April, 1912. They only carried 1,178 lifeboats that would carry that amount of people, knowing they had over double that on the boat. They were so confident they couldn't be sunk, but you sunk.
Right.
You know, the Bible says, check yourself and see if you're in the faith.
Amen.
Test yourself if you're in the faith. The Lord's coming.
Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
My friend that's listening in tonight, are you seeing it? People are so worried about rules and regulations, but what about the coming of the Lord?
Yeah.
Are you ready for that? I don't want to keep you in awe about these things. And I'm not telling you don't wear a mask tomorrow when you're out. If it's law and you have to, go ahead. If you're getting in a shop and you have to do it, that's fair enough. But I'm just telling you, none of these things will stop anything
that's
coming.
Amen.
Nothing will stop it. What about when the these atomic bombs go off and they break the craters open in the ground? What about when they start the nuclear war?
Right.
What they plan to do? What about these countries and the nuclear weapons today? And one of the American presidents put his foot that well in it. The deal was almost signed, but he made a boom. And the boy refused to sign the deal, and the weapons kept on producing. Have you ever saw the videos on the nuclear weapons they have? Mm-hmm. On the back of trains, and they can send them to America, and they can blow her in like that.
Right.
And then they're worried about something simple. I tell you, it's God we need.
Amen.
There's only one place of safety, that's in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Right.
That's the only place of safety in the Lord. Yet the Lord tonight, the Savior's coming, is likened to the man coming for his bridegroom. His bridesmaids have been waiting until for the night to come, and he's coming. The Lord's coming again. And you know, when the bride's getting married, what she do? She doesn't sit there and do nothing. If you ever go to marry a girl and she sat and done nothing, I'll tell you what, you'd be disappointed, wouldn't you? You'd want to see her get prepared, coming to the altar. Is that right? My Bible says the bride has made herself ready.
Amen.
How? With the oil and with the word.
Amen. That's right.
See, you've made yourself ready. I'm closing. I'm leaving out loads of scriptures, but I'm closing. Jesus coming is imminent. The Lord is coming again. We have a hope tonight. That hope is the coming of the Lord. Let's bow our heads tonight. Maybe we can stand on our feet. Close your eyes this evening. I'm not here to scare nobody tonight or anything like that, but are you saved? You watching in this evening, Jesus Christ is coming again. Are you ready? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? A mask could stop some germs, I'm sure. But every one of us has an inherited disease called sin. And there's only one cure for it. That's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus.
Right.
Are you under the blood? You that's listening in this evening, if you're not saved, call on the Lord tonight. If you're backslidden, come back to the Lord. Get your lamp trimmed and burning. The Lord's coming. Watch and pray. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Father in heaven, this evening, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the warnings of Scripture that the Lord's coming again. The coming of the Lord is imminent. Father, I pray for all those in this room and watching in tonight. Grant them your grace. Grant them your mercy. For we know you're coming again. Father, I do ask you for all the nurses and doctors that you will keep them safe, that you'll watch over them, cover them with your precious blood. Pray for all of our sons and our daughters, every little boy and every little girl, and perhaps those watching in tonight, loved ones in our hearts this evening. Father, keep them safe. Lay your hand of mercy upon them. And may the circle not be broken on that great day.
Amen.
We ask for those bereaved at this time. We pray for your strength, for your courage, for the grace and the comfort of the Holy Spirit this evening. We ask for those smitten down with the fear of modern society, with the fear of man, scared almost to death with these stories they're hearing on the news, false details. Oh God, give them courage and give them strength. Help your people to look to you. You're our hope, you're our source. You're our strength, Lord. We're calling upon you tonight to watch over us, to keep us safe, to shield us. You're our shield. You said to Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Father, keep us as the apple of thy eye. The days, the weeks, and the months that lay ahead, if thou dost come. And save our children, we sincerely pray. Now, Father, we look to you tonight. And Lord, I pray also for those that are sick this evening. Maybe somebody's caught this plague or this disease and they're laying sick tonight. Father, I'm asking in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you'll touch them and heal them.
Amen.
And you'll raise them up, Lord.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus Christ's name. Lord, if there's a young person that are mixed up in their thinking, in their mind, and they don't know what's happening with this modern teaching, and femininity and all these things. Oh God, open their eyes tonight.
Hallelujah.
Bring them to Christ.
Jesus.
Bring them to the Savior. Do a work within them, Lord, that none can do, only thyself. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Now, Lord, part us for your blessing. That make of rich and out of no sorrows till thou would come or call. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless each one. As your brother Gary comes. Don't forget our Wednesday night service, 7:30. Then next Sunday morning, Brother Mark's going to be preaching. The following Sunday morning, the Lord willing, Brother Ian will be preaching. Pray for all the meetings, and the Lord bless each and every one. God bless you.
Jonah says he wants to sing a song.
Can I come with
you? Right. What are you going to sing? Start you over here. People can see you. All right. What do you want to sing?